Hallelujah. Very much alive. Very, very much alive. I want to share with you tonight some more about revival, the times we're living in, talking about God moving into new generations. We live in a tremendous generation, or I should say perhaps even greater than that, though that is not wrong, but a tremendous century. There has never been such outpourings of God in His church since the days of Adam as there is, has been, and is in this century. Let me put it this way. We have lived in one continuous revival. You're just having a touch on tonight. A continuous manifestation of His grace, His power, and His presence. Since the beginning of this century, there has been revivals, plus revivals, plus revivals. I don't think there's a time when there's several places in the world at the same time aren't having a visitation of God. I just got a letter the other day from Rwanda, Africa. I remember being in a service in 1952. It was a conference. There were several hundred people there. And one afternoon there came such a spirit of praise, and the people began to rejoice and clap their hands and clap their hands and clap their hands and clap their hands, so people made their hands sore, and went on for over half an hour, and people just shouted and rejoicing. And then the word of prophecy came and said, "My people have been rejoicing because I've given you revival in Africa." That particular people had some missionaries in Africa, in Rwanda and in Kenya. 10 days later came a telegram, "Rejoice with us, revival has come." Today there's over 5,000 Pentecostal churches out of that revival. And I tell you, there's a blessing of God. There's a power of God. There's a mercies of God outpoured. And you go to country after country, there has been continuous revival. We haven't been without it. If it hasn't been in your church, well, I'm sorry, but it's been in many other ones. For years we lived in continuous revival. I don't believe the scripture tells us it has to end. There are rises and falls, there are ebbs and tides like there is in the ocean. But there's always that moving of the Holy Spirit, always that presence, always that grace, because He wants to. It isn't we have to try to persuade God. God said, "Well, who can I use? Who can I send?" He said to Isaiah, "Where's my vessel? Where's the extension of my arm? Where's the instrument I can play?" There has not been a cessation of revival since the beginning of this century. Furthermore, it's going to be much greater. And I want to tell you something about revival. I want you to know something. Going into it tonight a little bit. God seeks ways to revive His people. God needs someone to work through on our earth. He's in the business now of preparing people. You know, He said, "I don't pray for the world, I pray for my own people." And He didn't tell us to pray for the world. And He didn't tell us to pray for souls. You know what He told us to pray for? Workers. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He," what? "Send forth laborers." That's what God is looking for. And that's what God is doing in this hour. As I said this morning, there's Bible schools all over. There's printing presses all over. And some of those people are going to be raised up because there's a mighty harvest ahead of us. We're just in the beginnings of the harvest. This is the last harvest. We came through the harvest rain. They call it the latter rain. And now it's harvest time. And it's harvest time all over the world. And people are being raised up, nationals out of their own country. When I went to Argentina, I was amazed. I remember 40 years ago, or perhaps about 40 years ago, interceding with God, I said, "God, give me 100 Argentines that will be ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ." We didn't have any. And then one, and then two. I'm sorry I didn't ask for 1,000 because we have them. My faith was too small. Raised up. with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And with God using them. Revivals have a pattern in the Scriptures, and we look a little bit in the life of Elijah. The great call of Elijah's heart, the great yearning of his heart, was bringing people away from idol Baal and back to the worship of Jehovah. Now, it's not easy to turn the people away from their own religion. When they've got their own religion and they're deceived by it and they believe in it, whether it's true or not makes no difference. The fact is they believe in it, and you can't turn them away because religion is very close to our souls. Religion is what has to do with the afterlife. And if we've got the wrong one, poor, I tell you something, we better change it. But we all think we've got the right one. And if someone could come to me and prove that they had a better one than I think I'd grab it. I talked to a man at Jehovah's Witness. He wanted to talk to me. I said, all right, come in and sit down in this chair, and I'll listen to you for 1 hour if you will listen to me for 1 hour. He accepted the challenge. I listened to everything he had to say. And then I stood up, and I put my back to the door so he couldn't run out. And I said, I want to tell you something. You're a poor salesman. I said, you want to take away from me what I have, and all you give to me in place of it is a chance, maybe, of perhaps being one of the 144,000, and that's already used up, that's since the days of Christ, and that's already used up, and if I don't get to that, well, maybe I can choose a house I live in. I said, I can do that now. And I said, you want to take away from me heaven, you want to take from me Christ, you want to take from me the Holy Spirit, you want to take from me the belief in the things I believe in. I said, you're a poor salesman, no sale. And then I said, but now you listen to me. And I told him what I had and what the Lord's Holy Spirit had done for me. And he just sat there with his mouth open. And when I got through, he said, sir, if I had what you had, I wouldn't have changed either. But mine's better. But you have to have something better. And Elijah knew he had to have something better. You know, God is willing, and he is quite ready to prove himself. He knows we live in a world of deception. He knows that the devil is a liar and very active. He knows that he lives in the invisible. He knows we have no way of touching him, of seeing him. He lives in the invisible, and he told us not even to make idols in a picture of him. And we live in the visibles. We want something we can see and touch and handle. God knows that. So the ministry of Elijah, bringing forth a revival for his nation, we find him coming forth with power and miracles. When he stood before the people, let's see if I can find it here. First thing, he comes to the king. He just appears. We don't know anything about his beginnings. We don't know how God prepared him. We know how he prepared a bit. We know how he prepared Elisha. But Elijah, we don't know how he prepared. He just appears. And he says these words, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord of God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Oh, that's a tremendous statement. He lived in the presence of God. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And it stopped raining. And it stopped raining. And there's no moisture came from the heavens nor from the earth. And it got drier and drier. And God said there would be a famine. And I'll tell you something else, it's a double famine. Because he sent Elijah out of that nation, out beyond their boundaries. So not only was there, well, I think it's worse in Amos. Let's see if I don't have it. Yes. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They had a double famine. God sent Elijah out of the country. When God closes a ministry mouth, there is a loss. When God takes a ministry away from a place, there is a famine of the word. That's what Amos said. He sent Elijah out. And there's no one else that was going to bring the word of God. There were a few prophets, but they were held in a cave because the Jezebel sought to kill them. There was a famine of the word. There was a famine of water. And Elijah did it. He was the voice of God on earth. He was the instrument that God was playing through. And he said, I want to show them that I am God. And he let it stay that way for several years. He let it stay that way for about 3 years. Till they knew. Till they learned to understand. Till they got hungry and more hungry and thirsty and more thirsty. Until there was a tremendous state of affairs. And their Baal, their God, their idol couldn't help them. He wanted them to learn something. He wanted to learn that I am bigger than your God. I am bigger than your God. I am greater than your God. That's just what he said to the Egyptians, wasn't it? Who is this Jehovah? They found out who he was, didn't they? And then we go on to the story. As they recognized their problems and the word got around that a miracle-working prophet was in Israel. God waited. And then we come to 1 Kings 18:1. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go show yourself to Ahab. I will send rain. Now revival's on its way. Now revival's on its way. I'm going to do something about it. It's interesting what God said to Elijah. Go, show yourself to Ahab, I will send rain. He didn't say anything else. He didn't tell him what to do, anything else to do. He didn't tell him to build an altar on Carmel, nothing of that nature. He just said, go yourself, show yourself to Ahab. Now, Ahab was looking all over to find him and kill him. Remember, he ran away from Jezebel? Now God says, now go, show yourself. Took yourself right in front of the king. And all the fears were gone. He wasn't trying to hide himself in a cave or out under a juniper bush. He obeyed God. God didn't send him to a juniper bush and didn't tell him not to. He just let him go. This time he gave him orders. And he obeyed. One of the keys. He obeyed, and he went to Ahab. And when he came to Ahab, told him what God had said. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubles Israel? Are you this guy I'm trying to catch and get hold of and kill? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you, right to the face of the king. You and your father's house, you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. You followed Balaam. And now send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, the prophets of groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people answered not a word. They were not going to declare themselves. They were not ready to follow God. They were not ready to leave their religion. They were locked into it. They were deceived into it. That was the one thing they believed in, and that was that. There was no changing them. Even after the prophet had closed up the heavens, they were still stiff-necked. So what? But God's a merciful God. God's a wonderful God. God is willing to show himself. Revivals are the presence of God, and when God's around, things happen. Catherine Kuhlman said one time, people say that the Lord is here. She said, if the Lord was there, things would be happening. He just can't be around without things happening. He says fire goes before him. And it does. Things happen when he's around. Things you can't even think of. You know, we don't even try to anticipate what a service is. We don't even know what it's going to be. He just does his things, his wonderful things, his lovely things. He always does wondrous things. And he works in power. Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that your faith might be established in the manifestation of the Spirit and power. Didn't he? Jesus said, you're not to go forth yet. Stay in Jerusalem until you're filled with until you're empowered with the Holy Ghost. To the power of God. God wants to manifest himself in power. And I want to tell you something. You're going to see more miracles as time goes on than this world has ever seen before. God's got 6 billion people he's got to show the gospel to. And there's going to be a lot of people raised up. There's going to be a lot of people in power and the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. And people are going to see there is a true God. Whether they believe it or not, whether they accept him or not, they cannot deny there is a true God. God is preparing vessels right now. And as I said, revival hasn't stopped. It's breaking forth time after time. I hear all over the world. This time he just got back from Mexico. He just told you. I've been reading some excerpts from the papers. God is coming to Mexico. He has been there for 400 years, but now he's there. Who sent him there? He went there. And he's coming to other countries and other places. And it breaks forth here, and it breaks forth there, and it breaks forth there. And the enemy's able to push it down here. That doesn't make any difference. He pulls it up there. This is a time. This is a Holy Ghost time. This is a Holy Ghost century. Jesus said when the Spirit came, he said that you must be filled and endued with the power of the Holy Ghost. And the power of the Spirit, Holy Ghost, shall come upon you after you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says it's going to come upon you. And then you'll go into all the world and be my witnesses. We can't witness for God that's a God and not alive. We have to witness that he's alive. We have to witness the fact that he is able to work his works. And he does all kinds of wonderful works. There's all kinds of giftings. There's all kinds of powers. There's all kinds of callings. There's all kinds of manifestations of his Spirit. I know a man. He's a friend of mine. He couldn't preach. It was painful to listen to him. He'd just wander all over. And then he'd come to give his altar call. And time after I said, my God, I can't understand it. Suddenly the Spirit of God would come on people. They begin to weep. They begin to open their hearts. They begin to, especially minister in the realm of surrender and of sanctification. It wasn't his sermon. It wasn't what he preached. But as soon as he began to call people, that Spirit of God would come and begin to draw. And the altars would fill up with people weeping and repenting and crying out to God. I marveled. They said of John the Baptist, he didn't work any miracles. But I tell you, one great miracle is all the thousands went out there, way out there in the desert, walking afoot and going out there in all that hot desert, just to hear a man that would tell them they were sinners. That's a miracle, isn't it? Billy Graham. Any good Bible school student could preach a sermon as good as he did. But when he gave that altar call, he said, it takes more energy out of me to give an altar call than I ever did to preach a sermon. And I can believe it. But suddenly the Spirit of God begins to move and move and move. I'll never forget the testimony of one Hollywood star. He went with his wife there in that Los Angeles service. And just to get her off his back, because she kept insisting she wanted to go, but finally he took her. And he sat there criticizing the sermon, criticizing everything else he said. And then he gave the altar call. He said, I don't know what happened. He said, I woke up in the middle of the aisle, running forward with tears running out of my eyes. I don't know how I got there. And from that day on, became a servant of Jesus Christ. Stuart Hammer. There's a power. There's a miracle. There's miracle power. God is a man, a God of power, and he works through men.
Elijah said, all right, let's prove God. Let's prove God. If God answers by fire, fine. If Baal answers by fire, fine. Let's see who is who. And then the people said, okay, that we'll take. We'll accept a proof. God's willing to compete with the devil anytime. Till Osborne went to Pakistan, a Muslim country, pitched his tent, advertised it well. The tent half full the first night. Muslims, please. Muslims. Mohammedans. They hate the gospel. They hate Christ. He said, you folks, I want to make a proof tonight. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I believe that He rose from the dead, and I believe He's alive today, and I believe in His name we can see His power manifested. Silence. He says, I want to prove it to you tonight. He said, I want you to look out from the midst of you, a man that has never been able to hear and cannot speak and is deaf, and I want you to bring him to me. And I'm going to pray for him in the name of Jesus Christ. And if God heals him and he can hear and talk, you will know that Jesus Christ is alive because I'm going to pray in his name. Is that fair? That's fair. And they found a man. And they brought him up. And he prayed for him. And his ears were open. And his lips were open. And the people were astounded. And he had a tremendous miracle meeting in that place with the Mohammedans. God's not afraid of Mohammedans. He's willing to demonstrate and show. He can show that He is God. He's a miracle-working God. He's a God of power. He's a God of anointing. He's a God that rose from the dead, with power over death. And He wants us to know it. And He wants us to realize that is the strength of the gospel. It's not a philosophy. It's not trying to win people, to coax them in, to out-argue them. That isn't it at all. It's demonstrate it. Prove it. Let people see. I remember I was in a healing campaign in Necochea, and a Mohammedan came to me just before the service. And he started to argue. I said, sir, I'm not here to argue. I said, but I'll tell you what we'll do. Tonight, when I'm up on that platform, and I call for people that are sick and want to be healed, I said, I'll let you come, and you stand on the other side of that platform, and I'll have people that want you to pray in the name of Muhammad to come to you, and I'll pray in the name of Jesus Christ over there, and we'll see who heals. He said, oh, no, 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 no. But that night, he was in the healing line, and the next night, he was there with all of his family. Our God's a big God. And Elijah was ready to prove it. Elijah was ready to show, our God is real. My God, before whom I stand, He can control the fire, the fires of heaven, as well as the sun that you think Baal is, and controls that fire. Baal is a fire god. I'll take a minute just to demonstrate it. I saw the worshippers of the sun god. I was in their temple, and I saw how they did it. They have a huge golden concave disc that twice a year, at a certain moment, focuses sun rays and creates fire. You ever do that with a magnifying glass? That's what they do. And at a certain time, they all crowd out, tomorrow now our Baal will show himself. He will start fire right here from heaven. It happens. Elijah was smart. He didn't go to the temple. He said, let's go and talk to the mountain. No golden disc there. Now let's see who can start the fire. And you know, when the fire came, they declared with a loud voice, "The Lord is God!" Because that fire didn't stop at the altar. It began eating up the rocks, and it began eating up the ditch. And fortunately, he put some water there, and the fire decided to stop there. Or it continued on a little further, and there'd be a lot of people in it, wouldn't there? "The Lord is God! Jehovah is God! Jehovah! Oh, yes, 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 yes!" They were ready to declare it then. Revival is a manifestation of the presence of the living God. Revival isn't people. Revival is God manifesting himself in spirit and power. And when he's there, things are going to happen. The things he wants, not the things that you want, the things that he wants. Now, God told Elijah, "I'm going to send rain." But Elijah didn't look for rain. Do you know what he looked for? A sacrifice. Blood. Because he knew that before the blood could come, before the rains could come, there had to be a pardon. There had to be forgiveness. Revivals always begin with repentance. Know that. A true revival will always begin with repentance. God didn't tell him to do that, but he knew the ways of God. He knew God. He knew that the rain could not come until the sin was pardoned. That was why the rain would have been withheld. God was showing him, "Look, I can't bless you anymore. I bless you in spite of all your sin, but I can't do it anymore. You've got to know that I can't go that way. I can't say, 'Well, it's all right, go worship your Baal.' No, it isn't all right." So he closed up the heavens. And they couldn't be opened until the blood was on the altar. And Elijah built that altar, 12 stones. For the tribe, for every tribe, blood. And the fire came showing that God accepted the sacrifice. And it was a mighty demonstration of the power of God up there on Mount Carmel. Our God is a miracle working God. And don't ever forget that miracles and revivals follow repentance. When the blood is applied, when sins, the great Quaker, the originator of the state of Pennsylvania, William Penn, wrote a large book, and in it, the title of the book is "No Cross, No Crown." No cross, no crown. Jesus said, "No cross, no Holy Spirit." He said, "If I don't go away," meaning through the cross, "the Holy Spirit will not come." That's first. And that was a first miracle. And that is one of the great miracles God is doing in this revival. He's bringing people to the cross. He's bringing people to repentance. He's bringing people to come to the place of pardon and the place of forgiveness. And to do that, he's willing to do many other miracles too. And this has been one long century of miracles. Personally, I've witnessed miracles since I was 4 years old. And every kind of miracle you can think of, every kind of thing that God can do, I think I've seen. Because it's never stopped. Whether it's in this place or that place, whether this nation or that nation. I've seen him working. I've seen him doing wonderful things. I've seen people leap from their cots. I've seen people's eyes open and scream. I can see. I've heard. They've seen their ears open. I've seen their works, the works of the Holy Spirit in them, because God's always doing something. You say, "Well, I want to see it." One of the sad things, though, and that is so few places maintain the presence of the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons is that they forget that it's not only once we have to be washed, but every day. And unless people keep their feet clean, as God said to Peter, Christ said to Peter, the Spirit begins to withdraw. But whether it's a people understand the ways of God and will come through the gates of repentance and are willing to face trials whenever they need it, then the mercy rains continue to fall. And the blessings of God will continue to be there. People can come a year later, and 2 years later, and 3 years later, and 4 years later, and 10 years later, to that same place, and God is still there working. God is still there working. I've been to places, and I'm sorry I could name them, but I won't, where I've had a marvelous meeting with God, and the presence of God is there. I've gone back there 3 years later, and the church doesn't even exist. It's all torn to pieces. But God just goes someplace else. God just moves to the next place. In Argentina, when the revival fell at a certain place, and the people raised up, and the denominational people raised up against it and closed it down, God just moved 200 miles away, and on we went again. He doesn't stop. He has withdrawn His mercies. He hasn't said, I'll bless them and not you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless all His people. And what He's doing, He's preparing vessels even now, because we're going to see the greatest harvest the world's ever known. There's 6 billion people out there, you know. And harvest time is here. And it's not going to take forever. It's not going to take another 100 years. I'll tell you that much. God is moving fast. Things are closing down fast to the termination and to the restoration of all things. And we're going to see it. Or you're going to hear of it. Whether it's in Africa, whether it's in India, whether it's in China. There's been some tremendous revivals in India. There's been tremendous revivals in Sweden. Over in Sweden, there was such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Sweden that they even had a Pentecostal newspaper for the nation. A daily paper, Doc, it was called, for the whole nation, for years, because God so poured out His Spirit in that nation. Place after place after place in this century. England's had some tremendous outpouring. Wales has had its outpouring. Scotland has had its outpouring. Do you know where God hasn't yet visited with revival? Do you know the nations? I can name them. Italy, France, Spain, Germany, Russia. Every nation that officially has outlawed God, has murdered His people, and exiled them. They want none of God's people in their nation and has thrown them out. From that day to this, God has not come back. There's no revivals. The blood of the martyrs cry out from that land. We have more Spanish Christians in the city of Buenos Aires than Spanish Christians in all of Spain. There is more Japanese Christians in Hawaii than all of Japan. The heavens have been closed over the land. My wife's forefathers were in the Bartholomew massacre in France. They went out with nothing more than a few rags on their backs, and everything else was left behind. They were the lucky ones. They were able to get outside before they were killed. And they killed men, women, and children mercilessly by the tens of thousands. And they said when they left, all we have to our name is our good name. That's all. God hasn't gone back to France. Not till now. But many, many, many places of the world, revival is flowing. Many, many places. We don't have to look for revival. Just open up and get ready. Let the rains come. The rains are falling now. Lift up your altars. Let Him bring you in to pardon and cleansing and re-cleansing and re-cleansing. Let the Holy Spirit bring you in to obedience and to surrender. Let Him bring you in so that you too can move and flow in that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And pray for workers. Pray, God, lift them up. Raise them up. And don't pray, God, make me one. That prayer won't get very far. God, raise up workers. And who knows, He might just raise you up. But not because you talked Him into doing it by a nice little prayer. I believe in miracles. I believe in a God of power. I believe in a God that's alive. I believe in a Christ that rose from the dead. I believe in one that never died, save for 4 days, 3 days in the tomb. That's what I believe in. He's alive. He's alive. He's a miracle-working God. And He's willing and ready. Shall we stand? I believe in miracles. Can you believe for a miracle in your church? Can you believe that church of yours? That every hard heart can break and melt and cry out, bring the rains back. Pardon us. Pardon me. Pardon my iniquities. Pardon my rebellions. Pardon my pride. Pardon my grievings of the Holy Spirit. And send back the rains again. Can you believe in that miracle? Can you believe in that miracle? You've seen the presence of God moving already in this service. You've seen He's ready to manifest His power and His grace and His mercy and His love. Will you let Him put that faith in your heart? Will you let Him put that faith in your heart? Can there come a cry, Lord, come back to me. Let me see Your glory in the temple once again, in this temple. Know ye not your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Will you bring me into my personal revival? Let Your presence, Lord. Let Your presence, Lord, come once again. Bring me back to my first love. Bring me back to my first faith. Bring me back to that simplicity. Bring me back into Your presence once more. Invades my being. Till that glory presence once more is there. Let my heart be Your temple. I want to know Your glory. I want to know Your presence. I want to know Your reality. Once more.
once again. Fill this temple, Lord, with your Spirit once again. That is revival. Lord, I want to know your glory. I want to know your presence. I want to know your grace. I want to be an instrument in your hands. I want that revival to be in my heart. I want that revival to be in my church. I want that presence. I want that reality. I want that manifestation. You are a miracle-working God. Then work a miracle in me, Lord. Work a miracle in me. Make me a man of faith. Make me a man of obedience that will face a king that wants to kill me and declare the word of God. Lord, I want to know your glory. No cross, no crown. No blood, no rain. No sacrifice, no fire. The Holy Spirit would love to go back home with you as we've been praying for you with a new anointing, a new faith, a new determination, a new realization. Revival's already in the world. I just want to lay into it. It's already here. It's been here for 100 years. Most marvelous, wondrous century the world has ever known. Countless books and countless testimonies of tremendous miracles are available. Lord, fill my temple with that glory. It's not enough to read it in books. It's not enough to hear somebody else. Oh Lord, oh Lord, I long to know your glory. Oh Lord, let my heart be the temple of your Spirit. Let me stop being just another religious person and bring me to flow the mighty Holy Spirit. Make me one of those like the apostles of old who were set aflame by the fire of God, who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Make me one of those. We're going to sing that song. And as we sing it, come and talk to him about it. Let him come into your heart. Let him flood your heart. Let him examine your heart. Let him bring a faith into your heart. Let there be a cry. Let this song be a cry in your heart. Lord, let me be a temple. Lord, let me know your glory. Let revival be in me. Be in me. And let revival be in my church. Let fires burn. Whatever it costs. I must move into the flow of the Holy Spirit because this is a Holy Spirit generation. And it's going to be more and more. And I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be one that's passed by. I don't want to have revival come to my town and stay 2 weeks and it's gone. And I'm left behind. I want to flow with it. And I want to flow in it. Oh Lord, I want to know your glory. And as we sing it, come and talk to him. I can't do your work for you. Raise the altar. Let the blood be released. Let your heart cry out. Let your faith arise. Let you know my God is a miracle working God. I want to know him in the power of his presence.